Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 74 from June the 26th of 1993. Once again, if you're searching for it on the YouTube channel, you got to search by the date, 6-26-93. It's not numbered by episodes anymore, so hopefully you found it. And we're going to get into this thing this week. We're in the same location in Cumberland, Kentucky. Doc and Harper are with me as usual. Doc, how you doing this morning?
Man, let me tell you something. The whole family out there in the other part of the house is sick. If you were listening back, you know, the BTT timeline isn't straight. So on the flagship show a few weeks ago, you and I were on vacation. Well, we're still on vacation, pal. I'm living the high life. But they're all sick out there. So, and they decided to start potty training my daughter this morning, even though they're sick. So, this episode may last 4 or 5 hours because I don't want to go back out there.
Bullshit. I got shit to do today.
This may be the long. We're going to break down every hold,
no,
every word of every promo. We're going to get in depth where this is going to be a master class on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, pal.
Yeah, okay. We're going to break down every hole while at the book top it. Of the show, Dutch Mantel signs his lady, stop treating me like a sex object. Okay, whatever you say. Harper, book how it. You doing this morning, man?
I'm doing great, bro. Ready to roll.
I hear that. For the record, you know, I always say this, or I try to say it at the top of every show. We are recording this on December the 29th, 2017. So while it's potentially close to the end of this, January 2018, we're actually recording this a few days before New Year's Day on in 2017, because that's how it works.
You know,
we do it when we
you
can.
Know, by the time this comes out, the Saints will have had some sort of terrible misfortune in the playoffs, and you two will be sad motherfuckers.
Yeah, right.
Shit happens, bro. I mean, I'd rather take my chances with my team in the playoffs versus not, which is I tell you
right.
What's about to. Well, I tell you what's about to happen with you. Philly's got everything booked up. So the Cowboys are going to go out there on Sunday, December 31st, and get you a meaningless fucking win and basically, you know, drop you a few slots in the draft. So just so you know, that's what's about to happen to the Dallas Cowboys. Just putting it out there. Anyway, mm-mm. And you know it.
We're already doing some advanced scouting on these bowls, pal. We're ready
to strike
in the draft.
All right, well, let's get started since Doc is in denial on the show, although via text messages bitching at me all the time about meaningless wins and they should just tank it at this point. All right, so let's get into this thing. Like I said, we're in Cumberland, Kentucky still. It's June 26, 1993. So while we're in the middle of winter here in Dallas and New Orleans, well, guess what? In the Smoky Mountains, they are dead in the middle of the summer with June the 26th. And Dutch's signs, like I said, says, "Lady, stop treating me like a sex object," is what he has written down. Down and dirty will be White Lightning, Tim Horner, and Tracy Smothers. I know everybody can't wait for that. And the Beat the Champ TV title match will be Bobby Blaze versus the Dirty White Boy. Now, by the time you're hearing this, I'm about to give out a spoiler on NWA Saturday Night. But in by the time you hear this, you are about a week or two out of seeing Tim Horner on NWA WCW Saturday Night as well on our flagship show. So I just want to mention that. So we got a double dose of Tim Horner at this stage of the game. Doc, any thoughts from the opening?
Well, that's what we need in our lives is more Tim Horner.
Double dose, brother.
More driving and socializing. That's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to do more of that.
Harper, anything from you on the opening?
No.
All right.
Let's get to Jeff Daniels, best wrestler ever.
Yeah, we got the first matchup is Jeff Daniels versus, and Nature Boy Paul Lee versus the Rock and Roll Express. Rock and Roll Express win with a double drop kick. But did you all notice the 8-ball still on the canvas where Abdul Hassan dropped his magic dust from last week? It's like there's still a big white, like, pile of powder.
Oh,
I can't
even notice that.
Yeah, they're still there from last week. But I don't know, Doc, your thoughts on this first match? Nothing much here. I mean, it was very quick.
Well, I just thought I noticed that Jeff Daniels had finally purchased some tights and ditched the Zubaz.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just, you know, Morton with the reverse Garvin for the pin. So, A few weeks back on the mothership show, on the flagship show, Harper was talking about somebody should reach out and tickle Garvin's balls with his tongue.
Just a little kiss. Just go.
Yeah, maybe.
Lay back down.
So maybe somebody should do that to Morton's behind.
By the time this airs on the flagship show, we would have aired an episode where there's the angle that they shoot Garvin pinning the guy. It is like the right side of the guy's face, and you can the angle is just perfect to where I'm like, now every time I see Garvin sit on a guy, I'm waiting for the dude's head to come up and plant a kiss on Garvin's balls. is all I'll say. Like, I can't even remember who the guy was he's in there with. It's a real quick match. I think the guy's name was Gary Royal, and it's on the January. I think it's on the January 11th episode of our flagship show. But yeah, nothing much here. Harper, you didn't have anything from this, right? You said
no.
All right, so let's go to the promo now. We got the Rock and Roll Express, and they're going to cut a quick promo. Here it is.
All right, fans, right here, our Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champions, four times World Tag Team Champions, Rock and Roll Express, Summer Blast, Rick. Summer Blast is coming up. The big Bruise Brothers are there, and this could be the biggest challenge that you two have ever faced.
That's right, Bob. You know, this match right here, we had our eye on the back because we're not going to be ambushed another time. But you know what I'm proud about is Bullet Bob Armstrong is on his way back, and Jimmy Cornette's got all he can handle. But one thing about it, Bruce Brothers, everybody has a weakness. I don't care who you are. And we're going to find out what that weakness is, because it don't matter how big you are. When you're in that ring on your back, you're no taller than that right there. And when that double drop kick hits you, that's 442 pounds, brother, coming at you live. And I'm telling you, Bruce Brothers, you might have got us one time. You slicked us once, shame on you. Slicked us twice, shame on us.
Rock and Roll Express fans, they're ready. And Summer Blast.
All right, no catchphrase, so I kind of like that. Yeah, Doc, yeah. What did you have? I mean, Harper, you go first.
But he explained how he's going to beat these guys.
Yeah.
And it just makes him feel more real.
Yep.
Because I can picture a kid asking him, how are you going to beat those guys? Those guys are so huge. And this would be the perfect response to it. Everyone's got a weakness. We got to find theirs.
Very true. Doc, what about you?
I like the line about him being, they're laying on their back. They're not that tall kind of thing. Also, at about 5:30 in here, I think I noticed Gibson just basically mauling his package in his pants.
I had the same note. He's adjusting himself for scratching his nuts and balls.
I just thought that maybe he didn't quite understand what Summer Blast was, and he thought he was going to get to go shoot some ropes on some rats, if you know what I mean.
I saw that. He was doing like a Luger type adjusting his schlong and his tights. I know exactly what you mean. Yes, Gibson. Okay, so let's keep going because I did catch that. The next match, they take us to the bounty match with Kevin Sullivan versus Tracy Smothers. Here's the thing. So Smothers wins the match as they throw us to it, but Dirty White Boy has interfered, and after Smothers wins, Dirty White Boy and Sullivan start putting the boots to Smothers. Then, out of nowhere, Primetime Brian Lee hits the ring and gets the better of Dirty White Boy and Sullivan. Now, after Sullivan and Dirty White Boy are gone, Smothers puts a chair in the middle of the ring. Primetime Brian Lee puts a chair in the middle of the ring and helps Tracy get to it. And that's when it happens. This is probably one of your major turns in the promotion. Primetime Brian Lee out of nowhere hits Smothers with a clothesline and then puts the cancellation on him and hits him with a knee drop off the top rope. We have the turn. Primetime Brian Lee is now a heel. He hits Smothers. And I'm just going to throw it to Doc now and get his thoughts on this, because I guess this is a major turn. Not that I guess. This is a pretty big turn in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
It is, but let's go back to the beginning of that, because you just said a mouthful there. Think how crazy Kevin Sullivan has to be and chaotic he has to still be over, even though that fool never wins a match. So even when he was terrorizing jobbers, he would get DQ'd. I mean, he never, when have you seen Sullivan pin somebody in this promotion?
That's true.
You got the great Chip Kessler on commentary here. If you don't like Chip, 1995 will be rough for you. I think he is the final play-by-play guy for the promotion.
We're going to have to talk about 95 when we get there because it kind of – it goes – we love Smoky Mountain, but, Doc, 95 is
– late 95 is a little rough.
Yeah.
I thought Primetime was really good here.
Yeah, I did too.
Setting up the turn, I thought he did that well. I mean, we knew it was coming, but I thought he did it. Everything he did was good. It was so good, in fact, that girl at ringside in the blue shirt, she had her back to us. Man, she was pissed. She was giving him the what for that shit. And then at about 9:20, man, he went over to the far side ropes and started shaking the ropes up and down before he turned. Man, I thought he was going to rip the whole ropes off the post. You see those ropes just bring like loose puss.
Wow.
Flapping like mud flaps in the wind, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Hopper, thoughts on any of this?
I was surprised.
I mean, were you?
I mean, not surprised, but I didn't see this coming as quick. I thought they were going to kind of milk it a little more because the only sign of him turning heel was when he says, yeah, whatever, during that promo when Tracy interferes, but I'm glad.
They didn't. You're right on that. They really didn't milk it a lot. I mean, you kind of had that one sign when Tracy interrupted him, and then this happened. I mean, it came quickly. I mean, it kind of that goes against our conventional wisdom with the promotion where we talk about how they take a while to play things out.
Yeah, I mean, because like him and Horner. I mean, they're kind of milking. They're kind of the end of their friendship or whatever you want to call it. But
right.
Yeah, with Brian Lee, he turned heel within a week.
And I think, too, part of that is probably larger in part due to the fact that the Smothers and Dirty White Boy angle had kind of ran its course and the candle had been, burned enough on it. And it was time for Tracy to move on to someone else. So, logically, I'm sure if we look down the roster, we could find someone else they could do this with. But, Primetime Brian Lee's been there since the beginning. It's been over, we're talking a year and, 4 months of the promotion at this point, almost 5 months if you consider, because we're almost to July. So, I mean, you're 17 months into the promotion right now. He's been a babyface the whole time. He's your first champion. Why not? I mean, it is what it is. So, anything else, Hopper?
Nah.
All right. So, after all that, we are going to get a Primetime Brian Lee promo, and here that is. Let me play it for you.
This is Chip Kessler. We're backstage at Freedom Hall Civic Center and wondering what's going on between Primetime Brian Lee and Tracy Smothers. Let's see if we can get some answers from Brian Lee as far as what just took place out in the ring here tonight at Freedom Hall Civic Center. Brian Lee, Primetime Brian Lee.
What?
What happened between you and Tracy Smothers out there tonight?
I'll tell you, I'm tired of being a big man living in a little man's shadow, little man.
I guess that's all we're going to get tonight from Brian Lee here in Johnson City.
All right, Doc, thoughts?
I think we have learned this over 17 months, and now it stays true whether he's a babyface or a heel. Primetime Brian Lee is at his best on the mic when it's short, and that was short. So, and he didn't give away too much there, so now we still have to figure out why, Brian, why?
Yeah. Yeah, what else is going on? We know you're mad now, but what else is going on? Harper, what about you?
Right.
Yeah, short and sweet. It still keeps you wondering what his problem is.
Yeah, it's all about storytelling. I need to, I know you turned on him because I can see it with my eyeballs, but
yeah.
I want to hear what the fuck now, and I need you to clarify that for me. Okay, so after that, I hadn't intended on playing this local promo, Cornette right here. I mean, there's nothing really to it. Doc, did you have any thoughts on that?
I have two questions that you don't have to play the promo to ask. First of all, where do you buy a yellow sports jacket?
Oh, fuck Soul Train Fashions in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can name a few if you want to know. I mean, there's a bunch of
Stepping
Style. I mean, they're all over the place in NOLA.
Do you stop at a fast food restaurant and get you a grape soda to on your way? No ice.
I don't do grape. I do red.
Okay, red. That's the fruit red.
Red
right?
drink.
Red drink.
Red drink. Asshole. With no ice. Right? No
since
ice.
You be
right?
a, since you want to be a prick.
No what? Ice. Right. No ice. Right.
No, light ice. Easy on the ice. Cause, I don't want my drink being full up with ice.
Right, because you want the drink, right?
Yeah, I want the drink, not the fucking ice. Fuck the ice.
Right, right. Okay. I just want to get all that out there. Okay. Second of all, people are fascinated by your you did a heel turn on your race, Mike, and people are fascinated by it.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, but keep going.
Okay. It's good. It's better to keep the people guessing, right? Storytelling. Okay. I also think it's funny that Corny had the racket with Smash Bash on it. Seems fitting.
Yeah.
I love that yellow jacket is something, man. Jeez. I don't think you can go roll into like Penny's and get one or something.
No. I got yellow pants.
I'm going to advise Harper of something I saw on Twitter yesterday, and I need to retweet it. I heard that Wildcat Sports is going to Georgia coming up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to advise Harper to either get you a black and gold New Orleans Saints jacket, or you need to wear some type of Saints paraphernalia to get you some nuclear heat while in Georgia.
Oh. You want to hear about you want to hear about nuclear heat? I was in Atlanta the night that the Cowboys played the Falcons in the preseason and Michael Vick broke his ankle.
Uh-huh.
You don't think I went out that night to bars and was asking everybody about it?
That's nice.
We broke your boy's ankle.
Fuck. They weren't playing the Cowboys.
They sure as hell were.
They were playing the Ravens that fucking night. I remember that.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. To be
they
honest.
Were playing
but
the
I
Ravens.
Wasn't, but I wasn't. Are you going to Atlanta, Harper?
No, it's like an hour away. I forgot exactly where.
You'll be in fucking Falcons country.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you'd be in Falcons country. I was going to say, if you're in Atlanta, you need to go to the Claremont Lounge.
Dude, they got this place called Cowfish. Y'all have those in Dallas?
No. What?
Cowfish?
No.
What?
It's a sushi / hamburger place.
I'm talking about
Claremont. He's about to tell us how to find some snatch, man. He's talking about a sushi and hamburger place. Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Hey. Why don't you Google Claremont Lounge real quick there, pal?
All right.
Okay.
While he does that, I'll keep us moving. The next matchup is Chris Comet versus Chris Candido. Bob Cottle mentions how Candido is still crying about the WWE title and how Smoky Mountain is not recognizing the WWE as a legit title. And Dutch references Dennis Coraluzzo, which, as our listeners would know, was good friends with Jim Cornette and our good friend, the great Brian Last from the 605 podcast, The Mothership. Now, here's the thing about what happens next, too. I clearly heard the name Chris Comet introduced in the introduction of the match. But Dutch repeatedly calls Chris Comet Chris Klein. Candido, at one point, as we keep going with the match, hits Comet with a top rope dive to the floor, and the crowd didn't react at all. In fact, this crowd is dead during this match.
Dude, this crowd is fucking dead as fuck.
It's like they took a bottle of Somas. And, I mean, even the Suicide Plex didn't get a reaction. Candido wins. But, I mean, Harper just said it. This crowd is dead. Like, they are completely silent. So, I mean, as much as Candido's pulling out all these moves and maybe it's not fitting for the area, It's still like, god damn, these people are just like, they're like zombies out there. But anyway, Harper, what'd you have from the match?
The crowd is fucking dead. He does that big suplex, which is something that you never see there, and no one responds.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Just pure silence. Like, yeah. Not a peep. So anyway, Doc, your thoughts on this?
I have a lot. Okay. First of all, Comet had been a tag team partner of Candido up in Eastern Championship Wrestling. So these two have a history.
Good to know.
Good to know. I don't think Comet is helped by the fact that on my phone, which looks far away, he looks like, at best, a Ricky Morton clone, at worst, a Horner clone to me from far off. So I don't think he's helped by having that blonde mullet and being third and or fourth in line in the babyface side, right?
Yeah, and that goes to a larger point, too. If you're wearing a mullet in this promotion, you might want to consider not wearing one, because there's too many people of note who have that look already in general.
Right. That's my point.
And like, do something that's going to make you stand out. It might not be who you are, you think you are, but the fucking mullet. Mullet mania is just running wild. We don't even talk about it anymore because it's so normal in Smoky Mountain. But if you remember the early episodes we did, Doc, we were like, oh, here comes another motherfucker with a mullet. Oh, here comes another fucking mullet. Here's another. I mean, everybody had a fucking mullet. So yeah, I agree. You're on with that.
Because the problem I had with that is this is a good match in my opinion, and I don't give a shit if the people in the crowd liked it or not. I enjoyed it. I know it's more important for the paying customers to be happy than me at this point, but still, I thought Candido looked a little green here, but you can see the potential. He jumps off the screen here with his potential. I always love the superplex, man. That's a great move.
It's a hell of a move. It's a great yes.
It's a great visual. Because you're coming from so high, and that impact to the ring makes a big noise. It's a real impactful move. I wonder. So I started wondering why the crowd was so dead, and I just wonder here if it's a factor of a couple of things. If Candido's moving faster than these people can keep up with, and that's not necessarily a slight at the people. It's a slight that they've not ever seen this style to this degree, right?
But they were also quiet for other stuff too.
Well, fuck them. They're probably
okay.
Maybe they're patient zero for the opioid crisis of today, right? Oh, maybe they're all just pilled up. The other thing here is I wonder if they're a little intimidated because Candido came from up north. He's talking fast and he's telling them they're stupid, and they're like, "Wait a minute, we're not stupid." But they're a little intimidated because he can put them back in their place. But this crowd sucked. Also, this was the first match where we hear, I believe, the name Dennis Coraluzo mentioned.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Chris references it, yeah.
So, anyway, I regardless of the fans there, I thought this was a good match, and I enjoyed it.
Harper, what did you have from it?
It wasn't a bad match. It's just it fucking irritated me that during this whole shit, the crowd was dead. And it seems to feel like this episode and the next episode, they're fucking dead as fuck.
I don't know what's going on, but they are dead.
That's what I was trying to think. Did something happen to where all these people, like half the crowd left?
Maybe they're closing down the mill, dude.
Oh, well, no. This is the third taping? This is the third in this area, I think, or maybe this.
All right.
But even then, it's still really strange. I don't know. It's weird.
Maybe we're identifying the perfect moment on the timeline where they took our jobs.
Okay.
Well, look, all these towns went from like 2,700 people. They lost like 1,000 people right about this time. I could be right about this.
Well, you have a point on something. It's actually quite sad. I mean, you're trying to make a joke out of these poor people, and it's not funny. It's sad.
I didn't make a joke of them. They're rich bookers at the companies they worked for made the joke out of them.
I'll tell you about these rich bookers. I'm starting to have it with these corporate motherfuckers.
No kid, they would sell each. You got to know that the deal that they would sell each one of us, you, their friends, their family for another dollar.
All right.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong. And with that said, let's move on before we go down another sidetrack.
Resist.
We got Chris. We got Chris Candido. Shut up. We got Chris Candido coming up right here.
All right, fans, and with us right now, here's our WWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Suicide Blonde himself, Chris Candido.
Bob Connell?
Yes, sir.
I have finally realized why Smoky Mountain Wrestling will recognize me as a real world champion, even though I am. That's because they're afraid that I'm going to beat all their talent. They're going to have nobody left here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. See, wrestling here is like a cakewalk, you know? I'm just having fun. I was thinking about leaving because I hate the South and I hate you bunch of rednecks. But it's an easy time of it.
So you like taking their money?
Oh, I like taking... They don't have any money, number one. I use food stamps. It's not like New Jersey, the mecca of professional wrestling. But hey, it's easy. Maybe I'll stay a while. And about recognizes me as a real world champion. My personal friend, WWA President Dennis Carluzzo, is going to look into that.
All right, fans, I tell you, you've seen him in action. As we say, he has some tremendous moves in the ring. WWA World Champion, the Suicide Blonde, Chris Candido. Don't go away. We're going to have more action. But first, let's hear this word.
I'm just going to throw this out there before I throw it to either one of you all. I like when Cotto says, you're going to take these people's money, and Candido says, yeah, well, not, because these people don't have any money. I thought that was a great response from Candido that I don't think was scripted at all. I think it was just a reaction, and I think that's what makes promos great, when you can actually react organically. And that's what I had from it. Harper, do you have anything?
Yeah, that was great, because you could tell he was about to say something like, yeah, I'll take that money. Then he realized, oh, wait, I could add something to this.
I thought it was perfect. Like, it was just, it was like, I don't think it could have got any better at that point. Doc, thoughts from you?
I thought this was a really good promo from him. And I think, you know, I think maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I said, for some reason that I can't explain, and I'm not sure of, he reminds me of a New Jersey version of Tully Blanchard. That promo reminded me of a Yankee Blanchard to me. I don't know. It's good. I liked it.
Yeah, I like Chris.
An irritant. He's a irritant. He's going to be sticking his finger in your side. He's here to piss you off, and he's good at it.
So we'll keep going. I agree. We'll see what happens with Candido. I mean, he's definitely here now, and we're going to see where this leads. And I'm glad he's in the promotion to do some stuff. They give us a summer.
Well, can you play the Summer Blast?
Oh, Jesus. What do I need to play from it?
With that song?
Yeah, buddy.
With Ramblin' Man?
Come on. That's not Ramblin' Man. But what is it? Even that clue right there won't help Mike.
No,
Mike,
I'm not playing it.
Do you know who sang the song? Plays the song? That'd be the Allman Brothers Band, pal.
Oh, actually, not you say that. Okay.
Okay, the other thing is, did you notice in there that fucking Kanemura's coming back?
Yeah, I did, but well, I won't say anything else.
You know what?
I don't want to spoil nothing.
Well, my note here is, if I was Kanemura and I was coming back to get Sullivan, I might want to bring an axe or something.
They build it as it's going to be in two places. That's the thing. Knoxville and Johnson City only. Because Summer Blast is over more than just 2 days. International grudge match, Kevin Sullivan versus Kanemura. Harper, what were you about to say?
It's they're playing this nice, happy music, and then you see fucking Bob Armstrong on the fucking stretcher. With the neck brace. It's like, da-da-da-da-da-da.
I thought the same thing, dude.
I was like, what?
Awesome. That was great.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made it worse is if they'd have showed Kanemura getting filleted.
Yeah,
they did.
Oh, that's true. But yes.
They showed his face just spiderwebbed with blood.
That's true. They did. They did show that. He was busted open real good with this happy music playing. Okay. So Summer Blast is coming. We'll keep an eye on what happens there. And then, like I said, after that, they throw us to Down and Dirty. Now, before Dutch interviews Horner and Smothers, there's the recap of the Coward Waves the Flag match with Horner waving the flag, beating up Don Wright. They show when Smothers had powder thrown in his eyes, and Smothers and Horner start fighting because Tracy can't see. And then we're going to play now the interview with the two of them. It's they're at a table, Dutch is in the middle. The Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title is in front of Dutch with Smothers to the right and Horner to the left, and here it is.
Well, fans, you saw it. You can draw your own conclusion, but right now, Tracy, I want to direct my attention to you. Of course, you're having a lot of problems with the co-wrestlers here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling and your friends, and I'm sure you're being the noble individual that you are. You don't blame Tim Horner for almost costing you the Smoky Mountain heavyweight belt.
Don Ride came around. Heavyweight. Everybody saw that.
And I'm sure you don't blame Tracy for sort of knocking you on your
own. Everybody
Tennessee.
Saw what happened. I had powder in my eyes. I couldn't see who I was hitting. There was guys coming at me from all sides, man.
Well, anyway, regardless of whatever happened, guys, July the 2nd is a big night in both of your lives. Summer Spectacular, Morristown, Tennessee, July the 2nd. This Smoky Mountain heavyweight belt will be on the line between Tracy Smothers and Tim Horner, which brings up another interesting point. Now, I know, you know, all the fans know that Morristown is your hometown, Tim. And Tracy, I just want to know, how does it feel like being an underdog? You're the big gun going in there, but he's got the home field advantage. Why would you go to Morristown?
Well, I suggested Morristown, Tennessee. It doesn't make me any difference where the match is at. We could just as easily have it in Springfield, Tennessee, or in Russia. It doesn't matter to me.
Well, you said Morristown. You got something against Morristown?
I ain't got anything against Morristown, Tim. Nothing at all. God. That's a great town. I love
What's
Morristown.
What's wrong with Morristown? Now you want to go to Springfield.
Would you go
well,
to Springfield?
To be my hometown.
Well, I'd go anywhere.
You're having it in your hometown.
He said Morristown, and the good people in Morristown expecting that. Because, besides, that's the first place that you'd not clean my clock in Morristown. It's only proper we go back there.
Oh, and I guess you didn't get the title held up by waving the dadgum flag Did you intentionally wave that flag?
I wouldn't have had
Answer
to.
My question. Did you intentionally wave that
no,
flag?
No, I didn't. If you'd have told me he was crawling around, I wouldn't have had to.
That's right. Well, I didn't intentionally hit you in Morristown either. I had powder in my eye.
Oh, come on, Tracy. My gosh.
Okay, fans, that's what we got going.
Well,
July doesn't make me any.
Let's wrap this up. July the 2nd, Morristown, Tennessee. We'll be back. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
I've never wished for a Nikita Koloff promo more.
Well, who was getting on your nerves right there?
Everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Except for Dutch.
You mad at Tracy right there?
My exact notes were. My favorite thing in this shot is that desk. And Smothers should flip the desk over and whip Horner's ass and fuck this angle.
Okay. Damn, Doc.
I hate this angle, dude. It's bringing Tracy down.
Well, I mean, the good part is...
It doesn't go anywhere and it's over soon?
Yeah, it's... we're not...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
What? So.
Harper, anything from you?
This reminded me of just like of two rednecks like fighting over like the last beer or something. Who
Bumble
drank the last beer?
You bumble fucking their way through a damn. Jesus, I hate this shit.
It was almost like a bad episode of like a shitty talk show, you know, like Jerry Springer or something. It's just. And when he says "dag gum," I'm like, "Wow, who says that?"
We have it in Morristown, Tracy. We're gonna do this in Morristown. I don't care where we have the match.
Let's go to Morristown. We can get a whole bunch of shit printed up. There's 18 print shops there.
I got my fax machine there. We gotta have it there.
The fax machine will be plugged in during the match, Tracy.
Dag gum fax machine.
Loser gets the fax.
No, winner takes home the fax, Tracy. The fax machine's right here. We'll even have it plugged in during the match. We'll even press the power button to make sure it's working during the match.
This allows you to do international business, Tracy.
That's right. We'll even put a camera on the fax machine and and show it on the TV right outside the ring, Tracy. We'll do that. Okay, let's keep it going. Yeah, not much there. I don't know. God, Horner. Doc gave us a play-by-play doing it. Let's keep going. Next up is after that debacle, we do have an interview with Tammy Fitch. First, they show a recap of Tracy Smothers sending Tammy packing last week. Then we lead into Tammy's promo, and here it is.
Well, you got a chance to see it again. And, of course, I don't think I've ever seen anybody any more irate than you were after that happened to you last week.
You know, some of my girlfriends and I thought it would be fun to bring a cute little Southern boy like Tracy Smothers home and bring him around to some sorority parties, show him off a little bit, but now I realize that to take him anywhere would just be a complete embarrassment. But now I'm concentrating on business. I have just signed a man to a contract who will get even with Tracy Smothers. I'm not going to tell you his name just yet.
I was going to say, please, who is it?
I'm not going to tell you his name just yet. Let's just call him the Bounty Hunter, okay? We will collect this $20,000 bounty and put Tracy Smothers out of wrestling forever. And I don't really care about the $20,000 because that won't even pay a tuition at school. So all I have to say is that we will get even because no one gets away with insulting me. And Tracy Smothers, you've made the biggest mistake of your life.
All right, fans, you've heard it right there. She says that she has signed someone. Hopefully, we're going to find out who soon. Right now, let's go to the ring.
Harper, thoughts?
My first thing written down is, like, these people know what tuition is. You know, I mean, what the fuck do they know about going to college?
Oh, shit.
I mean, seriously.
Somebody's going to get pissed.
Besides watching fucking Tennessee, you know, play against Alabama or something.
Damn, Harper.
What? Am I lying?
I can already see the emails and tweets. People complain. I got a college degree. I'm from Tennessee. We're not saying everybody, okay? If it doesn't pertain to you. And let me remind everyone, I come from the most one of the most uneducated states in the nation. Thank you very much. I'll claim that. Texas. There we go. There's a disclaimer. Louisiana is a shit show. Damn. All right. What? Okay, Offer. Anything else?
She seemed to. She's come a long way.
She's coming along. I will say that.
Yeah.
She is. Doc, thoughts?
I just noticed here, because the previous segment got me hot, that Tracy's in three feuds, dude. He's got Dirty White Boy, Horner, and Sonny.
No, the Dirty White Boy stuff is winding down, though.
He's still out. He's still in it, pal.
Not to me, not from what I remember. I thought it, like, pretty much was almost over at this point.
Oh.
I could be wrong, but that's what I thought. Okay. Hey, Doc, any other thoughts?
No. She is getting better, though.
Yeah. She is getting better. She definitely is. The next match after Tammy's promo is the Heavenly Bodies and with Jim Cornette versus Larry Santo and Robbie Eagle. It's about a three-minute match that the Heavenly Bodies win. Jimmy Del Rey throws some serious stiff super kicks as we work towards the end of the match. Del Rey hits a top rope leg drop at the end and gives Eagle a face full of ass when he pins him. Heavenly Bodies win, obviously. Doc, thoughts on the match?
I thought Del Rey looked more confident here than he has before, and I thought the Heavenly Bodies had better chemistry here than they had in their first couple of matches. Del Rey, is that a shirt or a singlet? Del Rey's in.
I can't tell, to be honest.
I just think it's funny that he's touting himself as a gigolo, but he's not showing off all the goods.
That's true, huh?
Well, it doesn't really matter because he gives you the wiggle, the jiggle, and the whole caboodle at the end of every
like
episode.
I would think as a gigolo and as creepy as he is, he'd want to be in the smallest speedo possible to be out there wrestling.
That would be awesome if he went out there with a thong-type speedo and wrestled in that bullshit.
Right.
God damn, pal.
I think that would get more nuclear heat from the crowd than being from New Jersey.
Probably. Okay. Anything else from this match, y'all?
Okay. No.
So after that, we've got a Bullet Bob promo, which is followed by the Heavenly Bodies, Cornette, and the Bruise Brothers. I am going to play it. This is a relatively long promo, but let's listen to what Bullet Bob's got to say, along with Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies.
Hey, fans, right here we are with Jim Cornette, the Heavenly Bodies, the Bruise Brothers. We're going to be talking. Wait a minute. We're going to talk to you in just a moment. But first, we got a word from Bullet Bob Armstrong. I want you to see and I want you to hear this from the Bullet. Fans, watch it right here.
Fine. I feel so good, Cornette, because next weekend I'll be sitting at ringside with my boys and my letter. But my doctor came today and said on July the 8th for the big Summer Blast tour, incidentally your farewell tour, I'll be able to get back into the ring. Hallelujah, I feel so good. It'll be me and my sons in a six-man tag with you and your heavenly bodies. But when this match is over, your heavenly bodies may not be headed that way. They may be going the other way. But one thing's be sure, Cornette, Armstrong's army is on the move. We're digging in, brother, and coming straight for you, and I'd crawl through a mile of barbed wire just to have 30 seconds with you and my sons feel the same way. So, Summer Blast, get ready. If you make it past this weekend, brother, you're in for a heck of a ride, and I intend to be the man to give it to you.
All right. Okay, I'll stop it there because that's the end of Bullet Bob. Now, they go right into Cornette and Heavenly Bodies, but I wanted to get, Doc, your thoughts at first on Bullet Bob before we continue.
Who knew Bullet was an art collector?
The absurdity of these promos in the house and the backdrops on
next week is even next week is even better. I have some words on next week's promo too. So I just
Is it different one every week too?
Right. He's roaming around the house. He must be stir crazy from being confined to his home to get to convalesce.
Yeah, I mean he's been in front of a old wooden fence. He's been in front of a deer head, a brick wall. He's been in front of everything at this point. Hopper, anything you had from the promo there?
I want to see him doing taking a crap on the next one.
Because old men like that would do shit. Well, hey, come in here.
Come in, boss.
You're shitting.
Bruh, my grandfather.
Everybody shits. Get in here.
My grandfather would shit with the fucking door open.
And you in there.
He didn't give two. Right, he would shit in their house. The fucking kitchen and the bathroom were connected, like not connected, but the door to the bathroom was right next to the kitchen. And he would fucking walk in there. He didn't fucking close the door. He didn't give two shits. Literally. Okay, let's keep going. So after that, we got the Heavenly Bodies and the Bruiser Brothers are out there with Cornette. Here it is.
Jim, Bullet Bob, next week, he's going to be right back here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Let me just say one thing right now. I've got a present for Bullet Bob Armstrong. I'm going to get him a big industrial strength bottle of Jericho that maybe will get that old 85-year-old heart started one more time so he can come to the ring and he can have a war. Armstrong's Army, brother. Well, I got news for you. By the time we get finished with Armstrong's Army, they ain't gonna look like General Patton's men. They're gonna look like Jerry's kids. And I'm gonna tell you something else. You see this beef right back here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've talked about twin sons of different mothers, but in this case, they're twin sons of the same mother, and she died when she gave birth to them because it was just that rough. They were 32 pounds apiece when they were born. They're 310 now. They're 6'8". They're mean and evil. They will take a living thing and they'll bite its neck and they'll spit that flesh out.
Oh, yeah.
And Rock and Roll Express, that's what you've got in your future, brother. The Bruise Brothers, the most intimidating, physically dominating tag team on the face of the planet. And they're under contract to me. They don't care about the tag team belts. All they want is to win them, bring them to me, and get paid. And they're going to get paid real well. And they're going to go back and they're going to buy them a little mansion up there in Sturgis, South Dakota, where they come from. And then, Armstrong boys, the Heavenly Bodies are in your future. Because you want a war? You talk about Armstrong's Army? Well, just like we got the big Sherman tanks, we got the secret agents because they do their best work undercover, if you know what I'm saying. And Armstrong's, for as many times as the Bruise Brothers can pound you, the Bodies can outsmart you. For as many times as the Bruise Brothers can break you in half, the Heavenly Bodies, well, they can turn around and they can tie you in knots because they're wrestlers. So Armstrong's, you got that to look forward to. And Bullet Bob, I swear to you, what's been hurt before can be hurt again. You're not going to get your hands on me. You will not last to get back in a wrestling ring. Armstrong's Army is going to go down to defeat at the hands of my men. And brother, one more thing. Killer Kyle's going to take that $20,000 off of Tracy's mother's head. I'm going to have a check coming from Ron Wright. And just in case Bob Armstrong gets antsy, the big man here is always watching my back, brother. I got a lot of beef here, and I'm going to make use of it.
All right, fans. Jim Cornette.
All right, there's pretty much a lot there, but Doc, your thoughts?
I'd been missing Kyle for a while, so I'm glad to see him back in the Big Bubba role. Del Rey. Del Rey's funny.
It's ridiculous. Him and Tom.
Yeah, buddy. Him and Tom having heart attacks popped me. I like the line, and I don't know why this one stood out to me, because there's a lot going on here, and it's all good, but I like the line where he said the Bruise Brothers don't even care about the belts. They just want to beat you up. That's always like, shit. We're conditioned to believe that the belts are the most important thing, and they don't even care about that. They must be crazy. And then, and this is probably for Harper more than you, is it just me, or does Del Rey look like a cracked-out Ralph Mouth?
Who?
Wow. Ralph Mouth?
Yeah.
From fucking Happy Days.
Yeah. Oh.
Bro, I ain't watched Happy Days in so long. Well, people I would still watch Happy Days?
Well, no, but I would assume you're over watching Good Times, so never don't worry about it.
Temporary layoff, Good Times.
Good Times is a good show, bro. Don't make fun of Good Times.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Okay.
I prefer the Jeffersons, but that's just me.
That's a good show, too. That was a real good show. The Jeffersons the Jeffersons was some good shit. The Jeffersons were funny. Okay. I like Killer Kyle being back. I agree. And I love the line about there were 32 pounds each at birth, the Harris twins. Here's the other thing, too. Doc mentioned it. They mention how they don't care about the belts. They're just here to beat people up. That's kind of a teaser in a way, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Just remember that when something happens in a few weeks. Doc Harper, did you have anything from it?
I love the Jerry Kids line.
Yeah.
Another example of something that can't happen today.
Nope.
Uh-uh.
Not at all. Yeah, not at all. All right, anything else, Harper?
Uh-uh.
So after that, there's a lot there that doesn't actually play out in this episode, but I'm telling you, make note of the line where he talks about they don't care about winning belts, or just there to beat people up. Just remember that, because there's something that happens related to that. Kevin Sullivan is up next, and I'm going to play the promo. It's a quick one, but he's got a message from the Orient, or wherever he's at in Japan right now.
Before our Beat the Champ match, let's hear these words from Kevin Sullivan about his match at Summer Blast.
Here I am in the land of the rising sun, looking for Kenny Mora. The last time, Kenny Mora, I whittled the state of Tennessee. They say that you're coming to Smoky Mountain Wrestling for Summer Blast. What do you think? You're the cowardly lion? You're going to fight me with one arm? Listen, I'm going to end it right here in your home country, Japan. You ain't going to no Summer Blast. You won't get embarrassed me nowhere in the United States.
Ladies.
Well, Doc?
I'd be scared if I was Kanemura. I'm scared for Kanemura.
Yeah. He already butchered
you.
I'm
nervous.
Yeah. Harper, thoughts?
Do we get to see this match? No, huh?
I don't want to give that answer right now.
Well, what the hell?
Because we're going to find out something.
This is free TV, Harper. You got to buy a ticket.
Fuck. Well, not just that, and that's all I'll say. Keep you coming back. I'll keep you watching. Yeah, not just yet, and that's all I'll say.
All right.
So, but, you know, I love the fact that Sullivan mentioned slicing poor Kanemura's arm open. I mean, he basically says he carved the state of Tennessee into his arm, and then says, fuck Summer Blast. I'm ending it right here. Good God, Master. God damn, devil. All right, so after Sullivan, we go into the next match. It's Bobby Blaze versus the Dirty White Boy. They gave Bobby and Dirty White Boy nearly 8 minutes for this main event. I would guess that's showing some faith in Bobby's ability as a newcomer. We got a Dutchism also in the match. When Dutch says, if a man and a woman gets a divorce in the Smoky Mountain, does that mean they're still brother and sister?
I'll pause with that.
Y'all want to hear it? I've actually got it queued up if you want
to play it. Shit.
Here it is.
Like you want to.
The man hit the back of his neck on the mat, and that really stunned him right there. We're back here in the middle of the Smoky Mountains. People, if you tuned in late, so far back, you got to fight sunlight in here. And you know, Bob, what really worries me about the Smoky Mountain, let me ask you something, Bob. You may know the answer. If a man and woman get a divorce in the Smoky Mountain area, does that mean they're still like brother and sister? Does that still work like that?
No, what do you, no, what, I don't, what are you talking about?
I heard a lot about the Smoky Mountain area.
No. All right, here's White Boy.
Bob Cottle.
Bob wasn't ready for that one.
Bob was like, "What? What? No, no.
Wait, what? No."
He got Bob, and then Bob quickly's like, "All right, let's get back to the match." All right, so while we're talking about getting back to it, let's get back to it. The Dirty White Boy missed a headbutt off the top rope. Bobby then falls back and lays on Dirty White Boy and wins unexpectedly. New Smoky Mountain Wrestling beat the champ, TV champion. After the match, Dirty White Boy lays into Bobby because that's how you do it in the old school. Bobby then gets destroyed, busted open. Bobby's DDT'd on the chain by the Dirty White Boy, not once but twice. Dirty White Boy rips Bobby's check up and stuffs it in Bobby's mouth. Hopefully there was no ball sweat on this one, a la Buddy Landell back in the day and on Tim Horner. Harper, your thoughts first on the finish of the match.
I like this because you see stuff like this now and you know the guy's going to just kick out. And I like this finish.
Came out of nowhere, which I thought was good, surprising.
It came out of nowhere and it made sense. And I love how he kicks out at like three and a half to show that he still had some life left, and
right.
He wasn't just fucking dead laying there.
Yeah. Yep. Doc, thoughts?
It's rare that you see a guy pull a guy up by two at two and have it backfire like that, but that's what they were working towards. I thought Dutch was doing a good job. He was talking about, you know, at the beginning stages of the match that, you know, Bobby was the Christian being thrown to the lions, which is a throwback to the interview promo that Bobby gave a couple of weeks ago. So I thought that was nice tying that together. After the match yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was worried for Bobby there because Dirty White Boy likes to hang motherfuckers. So I was worried Bobby was going to get lynched in that ring, pal. And Bobby got busted open. He understands that red means green, and he has a belt, or without the belt.
Right. He's got a title, right?
He's more importantly than that. He's got the money.
Yeah, he got the money. That's true.
And in Ashland, Kentucky, $1,000 probably means you're the richest person there.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Doc.
What?
Seriously? Do you have to always be an asshole?
I'm just saying that that's the kind of thing that could really get you down to that brothel in Ashland and make some things happen. Can you
brothel?
Imagine? Remember the brothel story with Bobby a while back?
Uh-uh. Oh.
Okay.
Swingers club. It's a swingers club.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but I had
but just imagine what a whore, what a prostitute in Ashland, Kentucky would do for $1,000.
God.
I'm pretty sure you could cut them open, take out all their insides, and crawl inside of them and treat them like a human snuggie.
You're a fucking idiot. That's disgusting.
You could wear like a prostitute.
I want to wear you like a coat.
Okay.
Can I see the money first?
I think Hopper just said you can wear him like a poncho.
Yeah.
You get inside of him like Luke Skywalker getting in the pants on it.
And I thought they smelled bad from the outside.
We're having fun. We're having fun and Mike isn't really following.
No, I've got something from Bobby. So after I watched this, I contacted Bobby and I had him send me something. So I had a question for him. I was like, you know, hey, we're about to get to the point where you win the title. Can you send me a short write-up about that night? So here's what Bobby said. Mike, here's just a few bullet points that I can recall. I had been doing house shows on a regular basis for Smoky Mountain at this point. And he was also on TV, obviously, a couple times. Jim had spoken to me, Jim Cornette, that is, had spoken to me about being a babyface and my experience in doing so. I had been a heel everywhere else, as most of my work at that point had been overseas in Canada. I told him I could and would be willing to do whatever he may have in mind for me. I didn't know that I would be going over on Tony, Dirty White Boy, until the night of the TV taping. I knew this was good and also a big thing. There's a difference in just wanting or having a job there in Smoky Mountain, so now I was getting into a regular program, and that would mean even more bookings, as a TV exposure would keep me busy on most of the next 4 to 6 weeks of TV and house shows to follow the shows. I'm not sure Tony was totally on board right away, but I do know he was willing to do business and was completely professional about the match we did for TV, as well as all the house shows that followed. Bobby went on to say, we didn't call anything prior to the match. The only thing I can recall knowing was the finish. I think I had went over it with Mark Curtis after Jim Cornette spoke to me and Tony about it earlier in the day. Once we got in the ring, I think the only thing Tony said in the ring was he asked me if I knew the finish on our lockup. So like when they went to lock up, that's the only thing Tony asked him. I, of course, said yes. He called everything in the ring on the fly. I don't think I said anything except thank you as I fell back on him in the finish. After the pin, when he DDT'd me on the chain, he worked really well. He worked really good protecting me and made sure I was all right. I really wasn't sure what was going to happen next, but I knew that I was going to be there for a while at that point, as I mentioned that I now knew I had somewhat of a position on each card. After that, depending on what towns we were in, I would go over on someone that Jim Cornette would bring in, or if I worked with Tony, I would put him over on the house shows. Then we started the program that airs on TV, and that will be coming up over the next few weeks on the Beats Champ talent challenge things. He says, I only had to pin him once to win, but he could beat and pin me as many times as he could during our matches, so long as I didn't quit, so more to come. So that's just a little note from Bobby that he sent me basically about that night, which I thought was pretty cool. You know, you think back to how it is. Everything's so different nowadays. Literally, all they knew was the finish. They didn't call anything else, just the finish, which is pretty amazing when you think about it compared to how everything is completely scripted now, and so on and so forth. So, Doc, thoughts on anything Bobby said, or Harper, thoughts on anything Bobby had to say there?
I think it more than... For a guy like Bobby, I would assume, and I think that's what he's saying there, is more important than winning the belt was the fact that they thought enough of you to include you in the ongoing plans, and that's more job security. So this is a big moment for the young man.
Here's what I liked, and Harper can add on. I want you to add on to this too. So did you hear the part where Bobby said, the only thing important was that I won. Tony beat him on the house shows, which weren't televised. Right. But Bobby won on TV. So... basically, what they did was they put the babyface over on TV. Bobby, you know, looks like the champ, although he got beat to shit afterwards. And then when they go around the house shows, Tony's beating them every night, which I think is kind of – I like that. I mean, because here, at the end of the day, Tony's not worried about – Dirty White Boy's not worried about the fact that he lost one match on TV. And like Harper said, when he lost, it was a – he kicked out at 3.25.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I just thought that was good. Harper, any other thoughts on the match or what Bobby had to say?
I mean, it seems that they're really putting a lot of faith into him.
They really are at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, to say he's... I mean, think about it. I don't know anybody else I know there's no one else at this point who went straight from jobber enhancement talent to, within a month, beat the champ, TV title champion.
Yeah, because it seemed like they were kind of hitting at it with... the hell was his name? Reno
Riggins.
Right. And then he kind of disappeared. And it seemed like Bobby, right. And then, and now it's they teased that with Bobby, but they're really doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. Doc, any other thoughts before we move on?
No, sir.
All right. Bobby, thank you again for sending me that. I appreciate it. And I'm sure we'll be in touch more as the things develop on Smoky Mountain and whatnot. After that match, though, they take us to there's a local promo, but I'm going to skip that. They take us to because Tracy throws out his line, ladies from 8 to 80, blind or cripple, Tracy's ready to bang you. I'm not joking. That's what he says in a promo. We love you, Tracy. After that, though, is a Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright promo, and let's give a listen to what they have to say. And I remember, Dirty White Boy just beat the shit out of Bobby Blaze in the middle of the ring. Here we go.
All right, fans, we're here now, of course, with the legendary Ron Wright.
Did you see that?
I saw it.
Did you take a good look at that?
I saw
that. That damn referee gave me a two count and said it was a three. My shoulder was up. There's no way on the face of God's green earth that that worthless piece of garbage can even carry my wrestling bag. And now they're saying that he beat me. It's a bunch of crock. You know it. Everybody that's seen it knows my shoulder was up. But let me tell you something, Bobby Blaze. Do you realize what you're dealing with? I don't think so, boy. Now, I don't know if you're even still alive, if you can walk, if you can crawl. But let me tell you something, punk. I ever, ever catch you around a wrestling ring again, I swear to God, I'll stick this chain straight down your stinking throat, because you're nothing happening, individual. You're nothing happening that will never be. Bobby Blaze, if you can hear me, or if they tape this and they show it back to you, do yourself a big favor, punk. Get out of the wrestling profession, because if I ever, ever see you again, it's going to be my pleasure.
Fans, a dirty white boy, and he is really upset. That's going to do it for this week. We'll see you next week, and until then, so long for now.
Ron Wright is fanning himself with his Yankees hat and having a fucking heart attack right in front of our eyes. As we go off. Harper, thoughts on the promo right there?
He's pissed, man.
Dave,
how could someone like Bobby Blaze beat him? What the fuck?
That nothing happening, no good individual.
Yeah.
Doc, thoughts?
I just said it. He's mad. I'm worried about Ron.
Ron is rubbing and clutching his chest the whole time. He's taking deep breaths, and then he throws it into warp drive when he took the hat off and is fanning himself, because, you know, back in the day when there was no AC, or the summertime and you're out at a picnic or something, or at barbecue, and everybody's out there got their fan out, or the old ladies in church. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, I went to churches that didn't have air conditioning, and the old ladies are in there fanning themselves because they're about to pass out while they're worshiping the Lord. Ron is out there fanning himself because he's about to have a heart attack and he's clutching his chest. I thought that was good, and the dirty white boy is really, really pissed off. So good stuff right there. Doc, anything else?
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, we need to do some disability checks. I do want to remind everyone, please consider becoming a patron. It's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. Get access to the patron-only shows, access to being able to cut a promo on the episodes, or just join me at the end of an episode to tell us what you love about Smoky Mountain, what you love about Crockett Promotions, or anything else that you love or hate about wrestling today. So again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. Also want to remind everyone, I know the holidays are over. They've been over for over a month now, but hey, consider using our Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's another great way to support the show. You're not spending anything extra. Give it to the wives, girlfriends, or anyone in your family who does shopping. Just say, hey, use this link, bookmark it, and whenever you're on Amazon, purchase things. Use those gift cards that you got during the holidays if you still have any lingering around. And we'd appreciate it. It's a great way to support the show. Puts a little bit of money in the show's pockets. All right, let's keep going. We got disability checks here. This is a rough episode for me. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. I said it either last week or week before. I feel like we're on a roller coaster and we're reloading right now before we go back up the hill. I'm going to do 7.5 on this. I just really feel like it's not bad, but I'm scarred by the facts that Doc always says, which is once you see later on and you think about what's still out there, it's hard to really rate it any higher than that. So I'm going 7.5. Doc, what are you doing?
7.5 for you, you said?
Yeah.
That's too high, buddy.
Okay, keep going.
7.4.
You asshole. Harper, what about you?
I guess about a 7. It's fucking doable, but it's just
The problem with Smoky Mountain, and we say it all the time, is you start comparing it to the things that you've seen, and you're like,
yeah,
fuck, I can't like make this out more than what it is, because there's so much out there that's just ridiculous. I mean, we think back to some of the highlights we've seen. It's like, shit, the stuff that we've given a 9.5 and 10 to, and you look at this and you're like, well, I got to give it a, you know, 7. Which 7.5 is still good. I mean, I don't want to make that sound bad. I mean, we've had some ratings of much lower than that. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, all right. And then we're talking about, we do need to do government cheese as well. So, Doc, you go first.
Oh, as much as this pains me to do, I guess we'll not only give the man $1,000 and a human snuggie, but we'll give him the cheese too. How about Bobby Blaze winning his first championship gold without the gold? Bobby Blaze. Wow. Mr. Smedley.
Mr. Smedley. Bobby Blaze gets the Government Cheese Award, named by Shard Johnson. I think I got to go with Bobby too. I think I got to go with Bobby here. I mean, he won the gold. Good performance. I thought about Candido just simply based on that one line, just as of note. So I'm going to go with Bobby as well. Harper, you?
I'll give it to Bobby for fucking shocking the world.
Yeah. Who gets the Tim Horner Award?
Tim Horner.
Yeah.
Tim Horner gets the Tim Horner Award. At Thin Man Within, thank you for the Tim Horner Award. Yes, we appreciate that. All right, y'all. Well, that's almost going to wrap things up, man. I do need to tell everyone, we need some more 5-star reviews. I've noticed a few more have come in recently, and I appreciate everyone who's given us some 5-star reviews on iTunes. If you're listening
Stop being nice.
Throw us
Let
a 5-star review.
Stop what? Being nice. Let me tell you something. If you listen to this show and you haven't given us a 5-star review, you're stealing.
Yeah.
Why? How are they stealing if it's a free show?
That's the point. The least you could do, and it's free, is to help us out. But you won't even do that. Thanks.
Okay, Doc. That was a poor attempt at a promo. Just putting that
I'm not there. Trying to cut a promo. I'm trying to get 5-star reviews, and I'm tired of it.
Okay.
I shouldn't have to do this. I should. By the time you start begging at the end, I should be mentally shut down and moving on with my day and just tuning you out. But our lack of 5-star reviews is really starting to get on my nerves.
Well, we're almost going to get out of here. I do need to shout out the Hall of Fame patrons just real quick. At Dan N E I W L S R E Miller 39, at Justin_Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider91US, at ShepDaddy32, at USC 49ers Dodgers, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Pageum, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Orechi, Coman822, God Bold Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Famers. We appreciate it. Again, to become a patron, it's tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. And I want to thank everyone at the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. No spoiler here, but the Kingpin Brian Malonis is coming up on some Ring of Honor TVs. It may have already aired at this point, actually, now that I'm saying that. So my friends Malonis and Crockett over at the WPAN, go check out their recent interview with Warbeard Hansen. I think it was on Christmas Day that it dropped. Really some good stuff there. Maybe we know more about what's going on with Hansen and Ray Rowe as this airs, but as of this time, it's up in the air where they may end up, so who knows. But again, search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from and check them out weekly. I think that's all I got. Follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper is at CJH. Who dat? Go check out Wildcat Sports in Georgia coming up. I'll retweet it out. It should be on the Twitter page if you haven't seen it yet. Trying to think. Facebook is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Last thing, buy some t-shirts, please. We got the Corporate Wrestling Sucks t-shirt. The link should be in the show description, so it's all there. The Pro Wrestling Tees link is in the show description, and we'd appreciate it. I am still waiting as of this moment for the Hardbody Hopper t-shirt design to put up on the store, and the Doc Turner one is almost done as of this recording, so we will get it up as soon as we can, as soon as I get it. Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
No.
Hopper, you?
No.
Hit the tagline, Hopper.
Book it, bitch.